in a normal year, by the time we get to the 10th of January as we are today, Christmas can start to seem a very long time ago. We're all back at work or school, and Christmas has been almost completely erased from our common cultural life. Our shops are selling Easter eggs, and we're inundated with messages about New Year, New You. I'm not sure how I feel about that this year, in the midst of the pandemic. Time has taken on a very funny quality, seems to move differently. My husband and I, were self-isolating over Christmas, and although we had a lovely day Zooming family, it was very strange. It also feels like it was both yesterday and months ago. Regardless of our different circumstances, I think it's still true that this is the time of the year where we get the urge to move on from the Christmas story into the rest of the year. Normally we're encouraged to do that by the world of marketing and sales that distract our attention and draw us somewhere else. But perhaps this year it's because we've been plunged back into lockdown and into dealing with a new COVID crisis that has meant we feel like we've left Christmas a long way behind us. Now we mark that physically by taking down our decorations, quietly putting away any questionable presents we've received, and not eating our festival foods anymore. No more mince pies until next December. But we mark it spiritually too, by putting the nativity story back in our mental boxes. And for those of us involved in the church, we also start to think forward to Lent and Easter, which aren't that many weeks away. We won't sing carols again till next December, and we won't expect to hear those seasonal readings either. Every year I try and fight against this, challenge myself to live that Christmas truth throughout the year, the truth of God in the midst of us, the truth of Jesus setting the tone for his whole ministry and for God's kingdom by being born in obscurity and revealing God's self to the rejected and the despised. I want to share that challenge with you today because I think the Christmas story is something alive, something transformative, something that should shape us fundamentally as Christians for the whole year, not just a measly 12 days. Now, actually, when you look at any scriptural reading, it's not difficult to keep hold of the message of Christmas because God's work and the work of God's Spirit is extremely consistent. Always to give life, always to recognise people's value, always amongst the least and the lost, always working for justice, grace and peace. This is true of our readings from Genesis and Mark that we've heard this morning. We started with one of my favourite passages in all of Scripture, in Genesis 1, where the Spirit of God hovers over the face of the deep, or moves on the surface of the waters, depending on your translation. The Spirit is the source of all life, all meaning. The Spirit transforms the dry dust of nothingness into our experience of humanity and of being alive. The Spirit sits lightly on top of the material, on top of the busyness of the world, and enlivens it, brings it meaning, stirs it, transforms the darkness and formlessness to light and life. Those same currents and those same themes are true of the reading from Mark's Gospel as well. Before we dig into that, I thought it might be useful to just very quickly recap some details about Mark, since it's the Gospel appointed for this year, so we'll be spending a lot of time hearing it and thinking about it in our Sunday services. Mark was probably the first Gospel to be written in about AD 70. The traditional author has always been thought to be Mark the Evangelist, who is supposed to have interviewed St. Peter about Jesus' life and ministry. Now, truly, we don't know who the author was, but whoever wrote it or compiled it certainly linked the Gospel to a traditional figure called Mark and the community around him. That community could have been in Rome, in Antioch, or perhaps in Syria. The Gospel is primarily concerned with showing, firstly, that Jesus is the Messiah, and secondly, that he wasn't the kind of Messiah that people expected. Not a military leader, but a servant, like the suffering servant of Isaiah's prophecies, a man of peace and healing. Now, not quite in the spirit of trying not to leave Christmas behind, there is no Christmas story in Mark, and no resurrection encounters either. In fact, the book ends suddenly with the empty tomb. Although in most of our Bibles, possibly printed in italics, you'll see that there's an ending that was added much later. Back to today's reading from Mark. The author of the Gospel starts his account with the anointing of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, a sign that everything Jesus does and is going to be filled with this life-giving force, this transformative power, this mercy, this righteousness, this radical way of being. Mark's giving us a starter for 10 right up front that should help us, I think, as we read his Gospel this year. He's placing everything in the context of God's Spirit, that same Spirit from Genesis at the beginning of creation. All the claims that Mark makes about Christ, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of Man, that he has come to establish God's kingdom, are made with this authority. Mark's Gospel and its focus on Christ is the unexpected Messiah, a servant, a healer, a social gospel, as Wesley might have said, is also made up of this life-giving Spirit. God's work will change, empower, and lift up. Now, in Mark's Gospel, Jesus is often presented as a miracle worker, which wasn't unusual at the time. Contemporary society was very familiar with people presenting themselves as magicians or miraculous healers. We have a good example of that, in fact, in Acts, where Simon the magician asks the apostles how they do their many good works so that he can learn that magic, as he calls it too, and subsequently hopes to make lots of money. The apostles have to gently explain that isn't quite how it works. But amongst those miracle workers and that common trope, Jesus is different, because everything Christ does, even if others appear to be doing something similar, is in the context of God's Spirit. That same Spirit from Genesis that gives life, and that same Spirit that moves in the Christmas story, revealing itself first to the least and the lost, and the sharing of God in the midst of us. Unlike others, Jesus' work isn't for money or fame. It doesn't buy him power or favour, but it liberates, unburdens, and transforms. It challenges injustice. The Spirit of God is the unchanging and faithful undercurrent of our faith and of our humanity, from creation to Jesus to now in our present reality. God's Spirit is still amongst us as at Christmas. We might remember the words of that favourite carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. That Spirit is still being born in us today. So our task is to look for it, seek it out, participate in it, and embrace it. Where is God's Spirit working in our midst? In the sacrifices people have made for others' health and safety during the pandemic, perhaps. In grace shown to us by others. In the work of charities, especially those operating in these bizarre circumstances. In the ways people give of themselves for free. The same Spirit that moved on the face of the deep is moving right here and now, with the same life-giving and transformative power. When I think about the Spirit moving today, I'm reminded of a visit I made to the 125 Refuge in Bristol, which seeks to support street sex workers in the city. My church had been fundraising for them, and I was offered a guided tour. Now, of course, a place like that was full of the Spirit in all sorts of different ways. People volunteering their time and energies, including local doctors. Piles of donations everywhere. Clothes, sanitary towels, gifts. Employees going above and beyond to serve the women that they cared for. But there were also unexpected and wonderful places where the Spirit was at work. The charity has an outreach van, which goes out on the streets to give out all sorts of things, contraception, clean needles, food and supplies, and also to offer friendship and unconditional love to the women who are working. One wall of the van is an ugly mugs wall, covered in descriptions of men who have assaulted women in the past, to equip other women to recognise them and avoid them. My guide told me a story of one woman they had picked up, who had been very badly beaten and needed really to be taken to hospital there and then. She refused to go and have her injuries seen to until she dictated a full description of the man who'd attacked her, so that other women working that very night could be protected. For me, this is truly the Spirit of God working in our midst, inspiring selflessness and sacrifice, justice and holiness, humanity and service. My challenge for all of us this week, going forward from Christmas but trying to hold on to its essence, is to seek that Spirit working in the midst of us and to ask how we might participate in it, cooperate with it, and be agents of it in all that we are and do. Where and how can we be bringers of that light and life this week? Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, who moved across the face of the deep before time began, move in our hearts today. Equip us with your grace, your righteousness, your light and life. Help us to be followers of Christ, always amongst the rejected and despised, never seeking our own fame and wealth, but the kingdom of God, in which all are valued. Amen.